It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're so glad that our audience has joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda, and our show today is going to address a topic that involves 65 million people in our country. That's approximately 29% of the entire population.
That's almost a third of the people in the U.S. It's really not so hard to believe when we get into the topic. Look around your workplace, Chris. Mm-hmm. Talk to the people that you work with, or talk to people in your church, talk to your friends, and you'll see pretty quickly why today's topic is going to be really important for you to listen to. I have no doubt that you know someone who is caregiving, an elderly person or an ill family member or maybe even a close friend, or maybe you're the caregiver. The topic is caregiving today, a valued service many of you are providing.
And from just a monetary point of view, families who provide free caregiving services to just the elderly alone provide an estimated $375 billion service per year. That's almost twice as much as home care and nursing home services combined, which is about $158 billion. So caregivers are helping tremendously with the cost of elderly care.
That's pretty staggering because we hear a lot about nursing homes and how expensive it is to put people in nursing homes. It sounds like that we couldn't do without caregivers. And in fact, when I looked at this and I was preparing for the show, there were many statements on many websites that said if we didn't have people doing this caregiving, we'd have a public health crisis.
Wow.
If you're a caregiver, if you know someone who's a caregiver, you're needed, you're important. We know it's not always an easy job, which is why we're talking about it today.
Right.
And if you are someone who's giving care, we want to say thank you for doing what is a biblical prescription, especially when we're talking about our parents.
Right.
This is how you honor your parents in their elderly years. You're valued, you're appreciated, and taking care of the needy is definitely a biblical concept.
Now, of course, you can speak from experience on this topic because you are taking care of your 95-year-old father.
Now, I'm so fortunate because he's in his right mind. Mm-hmm. We're not dealing with that, and that is more difficult. I watched my mom caretake my grandmother, and she was struggling and suffering from Alzheimer's, so she was not cognizant of who we were when we came in. I find that a whole lot more difficult in some ways.
Right.
Other ways, it's somewhat easier. I'm very fortunate that I have a brother and sister-in-law who are willing to help with the caregiving. We're not one of those families where only a few people are doing it or one person is stuck doing it and everybody else is ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of split it. He does the physical care of my dad, which makes a lot of sense since he's a man. And
right.
I feel a little uncomfortable doing that with my dad. I would if I didn't have a brother, but my brother does the physical care, and I take care of all the health care and the business care. And we're really fortunate that we like each other. Now, as we get into the show, that's where things get dicey for family members because not all families are so fortunate. And many times the siblings are fighting, they're not involved, and the burden falls on one person. I saw that in my mom's family, where two of the seven sisters ended up doing most of the care. And when my mom and my aunt were doing that, they were working full-time jobs, and they still had us at home as high school students and middle school students.
Hmm. You know, I realize anyone can give care, but who is the average caregiver?
According to the National Alliance for Caregiving, my mom fit that average description.
Mm-hmm.
Here's who the average caregiver is. Someone who's a woman.
Right.
61% of caregivers are women. Middle-aged woman. 13% are age 65 and older. Think about it. Like a 68-year-old is taking care of a 90-some-year-old.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty intense. And then 59% of caregivers have jobs. And half of the women who are caregiving and work have to make a lot of accommodations in their work schedules. It's usually women my age taking care of elderly parents who are working and have kids at home. So that makes it tough.
A lot of stress involved.
I didn't say this. I want to get this in. The average amount of time a person gives towards caregiving a week is 20 hours a week. That's a part-time job for most people.
Right. Why is caregiving so difficult?
Here's something we haven't mentioned, and that is that the National Family Caregivers Association reports that half of all caregivers suffer from depression. People are doing this, but they're feeling depressed. Two-thirds of them feel frustrated on a regular basis. And 2 out of 5 people feel debilitated due to the changes that this makes in their family and what it causes and creates in family dynamics. It's a little bit scary.
Well, they may not see the light at the end of the tunnel, whatever that would be.
Yeah.
And they feel trapped.
That's what makes it so hard, is that it is a daily task that you have to keep up with, because the person is there and the problems don't usually get better, they get worse.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit about the exhaustion that people feel with this. Now, we just mentioned that 20 hours a week is the average. 1 in 4 people give 36 hours a week.
Now we're into the full-time job.
That's a full-time job.
Yeah. Hmm.
And if you have your own family at home, it makes it really tough. We went to caregiver.com, which has a lot of interesting comments from people. You can go to that site and you can put down your concerns and comments. And so this is from Alyssa, who says, "The short, long, difficult, intense journey as caregiver had begun. Wakeful nights with my many assisted bathroom visits and wakeful days of appointments, phone calls, paperwork, feeding assistance, medicine taking, adjusting pillows and legs and heads and room temperature and TV, and of course, the many assisted bathroom visits."
Wow.
Does that give you a picture?
And she's not talking about herself at all. That was all for someone else.
I know, all the physical care of that. They're totally dependent on you a lot of times.
Right.
That can be physically very exhausting.
Listen to this frustrated caretaker who talks as well about some of the stress associated with caretaking. "The insensitivity of the system, the indifference of the processor, the superiority of some entities, and the helplessness experienced while caregiving were all emotions I felt as a caregiver. Some of the most difficult moments for me included my father's inability to speak at the end of his life while having complete awareness of his environment.
Wow. Mm.
Contrasted with my mother's being unaware of her environment, the fact that she died alone still hurts me."
There's a lot in that comment. She's talking about how difficult the system is. I know I've talked about this before in our program, but dealing with the veterans administration.
Yeah.
It is challenging. My dad is a World War II veteran, and I've talked in the past about how it took 9 months to locate his health care records and how it took phone call after phone call, constantly hounding these regional centers to try to get services lined up. And then once you get the people, they're really great. It's getting it all lined up that is really crazy. And this person is talking about how insensitive the people are, how indifferent they are, and how they really don't care.
Right.
When you're dealing with people, which that makes it tough when you're doing that. And then she's kind of shifting into the emotions of her father couldn't speak, but he knew it.
Right.
And then her mom wasn't aware of her emotions. So what a contrast. One was aware, one wasn't aware. And then you're dealing with back and forth with those. That would be tough. The stress is usually due to these high levels of unpredictability that people are dealing with. You wake up that morning and you don't know if there's going to be a crisis. You don't know if the person you're caretaking is going to need to go to the hospital, or if there's something that has happened, like an accident or something that you have to go and deal with. It doesn't fit into your schedule most of the time when you're caretaking. That lack of control of the situation that is impinging on your own personal life makes this really, really tough. I did a lecture on this with medical students. There were so many people talking about their experiences caregiving. They talked about the need to just constantly be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
One woman said she slept with a phone in her bed because she never knew she was going to get a call, or if something would happen and she would have to be alert, or if the person fell and she'd hear the beep of the falling. So she always had an electronic device with her. And then you add the conditions like dementia and cancer and brain injury and people with intellectual disability. Boy, you've got daily tasks that don't let up.
So I would imagine that all of this stress affects the caregiver himself or herself if they're not careful.
What happens is there are these stress hormones that are released in the body. And then once those are activated and they stay constant and they stay high, it can affect everything from high blood pressure to glucose levels, which has to do with diabetes and sugar. And your immune system is lowered and you have infections. But don't be depressed by all of this, because we're going to come back and give some help.
When we come back, we want to talk about how caregivers can prevent burnout and deal effectively with the emotional issues involved with caregiving. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Hey, it's Dr. Linda Mental from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show. Join the conversation for our shows by commenting on questions and show topics posted on social media. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on my show, and leave your comments in the comment box. Or click on one of the social media icons and leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're discussing caring for the caretaker. Let's talk about the emotional issues involved and how the caretaker can handle those issues.
One of the most common emotional issues that people talk about, and I can vouch for this, is It really does place your own mortality front and center. As you're taking care of someone who's struggling and aging and having difficulty, you start thinking about, wow, I'm in that aging process and eventual death. It's not a bad thing for you to be thinking about this. I want to just say that. But if you're uncertain as to what's going to happen to you, especially after death, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you think your parent doesn't, this can be very unsettling. It raises that spiritual issue of, where am I going? Where's my parent going? Is there a life after death? And this is a great time for people in the church to come along and talk with you about that. Mortality is front and center. Aging is inevitable. I know we try not to let it happen. We've got all these creams and things and plastic surgery and everything, but we really don't value aging in our culture.
We don't, and you see how old people, if I can use that term, are treated.
It isn't like some cultures where honor and respect are important, and instead we see people physically and mentally failing, and we don't honor them and consider the wisdom that they might have. We need to have lots of patience when we're doing this, because one day we'll be on that receiving end.
Right.
And I think about that. I honestly think about that when I'm dealing with my dad, when I get frustrated because he doesn't hear. I have to tell you this. We have the funniest conversation because I call him every night. Mm-hmm. And he's got one of those flip phones because I'm not sure at 95 if he could manage a smartphone. I think he'd be turning it on all the time and hitting numbers.
Right.
But it's got a side button where he can turn off the sound, and he always hits it by mistake. But inevitably, every night I call him, Dad, I tried calling you all night and you didn't answer the phone. You didn't call.
Well, you didn't. You didn't call, that's right.
I didn't call. He constantly, I go, Dad, I did. I think you just didn't hear it. No, you didn't call me.
I remember when my grandfather got a flip phone, just like you said.
This
a few years back. And he said, I just don't know how these things don't have a dial tone. He couldn't figure that out.
Couldn't figure out the dial tone. You know, you have to have lots of patience. And every time I'm ready to go, ah, Dad, you're just turning down the sound or turning it off. Instead, I just go, wow, well, you know, I don't know. I guess, you know, but now I got a hold of you.
Right.
It's really important to try to be patient and try to put yourself in their shoes. And honestly, watching our parents move closer to death, it really does make us think a whole lot about a lot of things, including our relationship with them. If you're unsure of their salvation, you're unsure of the people around you that are caretaking, I would suggest you get a pastor or a Christian friend or a person you know who could talk to that person and give them a Christian perspective on death, because it's so hopeful.
Right.
Christians believe that we leave this life. Scripture talks about this life being a vapor and that we move into eternity with God, which is forever. It's really comforting to know that Christians will see their loved ones again if they've accepted Jesus Christ. Death isn't the final end. That helps me so much when I'm dealing with this.
As you watch your own parents age, I'm sure it raises the question of who will take care of me when I'm in the same situation.
I think we have to think about this in our culture. What are our options? What are we doing in terms of our own planning? My parents didn't make plans for that because they just assumed that their prior generation had their mom or their dad move into their home and they took care of them. But families don't do that so much anymore. There are a lot of places where the parent lives in one state and the other one's halfway across the country. It's not doable. There's all kinds of issues. Think about your options and begin to plan for some kind of care.
As a caregiver, is it easy to become discouraged? It seems like it would be.
Oh my gosh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. You have to keep perspective. And this is where I think it helps to talk to other people. But I really think that if you have a Christian perspective on this and that you see it as a calling, that our calling is to love God, to love our neighbor, and love ourselves. God's peace that comes along with this relationship that we have with him can kind of tenderly boost our spirits so that we don't have to feel like giving up, even when we're faced with the most stressful challenges, and there certainly are lots of those every day. Every once in a while, I stop and I reflect on this spiritual calling throughout the day, and I'm amazed at how it picks me up because I go, I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm honoring my Father in this case. And being able to see that, being able to get beyond the day-to-day drudgery of it, and sometimes a mind-numbing task that you have to do.
Right, yeah.
Giving it a spiritual perspective and seeing it as part of a calling, seeing it as it giving mercy to someone, seeing it as taking care of someone who once took care of you, and making some personal sacrifices around that person. They're not going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't always understand all of this, it really helps to understand that God is going to be there. He's going to take care of you. You're doing something unto that person, and God is going to help you with that task. And he'll help you. He'll equip you to do what you need to do.
You sort of engage yourself into a more intimate and a different relationship with your parents. But what happens if you have unresolved parent-child concerns?
That's the rub, isn't it? Sometimes what happens is people go into this thinking that they may reverse a damaged relationship, mm-hmm. that now that the parent is in this dependent position, somehow things are going to get better. But that is not always the case,
right.
as our producer could attest to as we were telling some stories. If you're a little cantankerous, you tend to be still a little cantankerous, and sometimes even more. What happens is a lot of times people go into this in an ideal way, and they think, oh, this is going to help repair this relationship. And then when it doesn't happen, it's even more distressing for the adult child. For instance, let's give an example of a daughter who didn't get much approval from her dad,
mm-hmm.
and now she's taking care of her dad, but he's still not giving her approval.
Right.
And she's sacrificing, and she's doing more for him, and she's still not getting it. I want to bring up something that we were chatting in the break about. It can be a lot of guilt with people, too,
mm-hmm.
in terms of there are times when you honestly have these thoughts, my life will be so much easier when they're not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel terrible that you've had those thoughts come into your mind. And it's not because you want your parent to die so much as it is just the day-to-day stress that this can bring into your life.
Right.
Here's the good thing. What I have seen over and over is that when the parent is in this dependent position and they really do spend a lot more time with their adult kids, there are times when it can really turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
It can go the positive direction too. And sometimes you'll see parents have remorse about the past. They'll talk about things that they never talked about. You can get at some of the regrets in some of the stories.
Wow.
I think there is hope there.
Let me read this from Beth. An unfamiliar role emerged as she found herself parenting her own mother, and she felt very unsettled with her feelings. In addition, her mother faced the uncertainty of her own role in her daughter's household as it relates to meals, kitchen duties, and daily decisions. They were both caught in a struggle that they were not prepared for as adults. Speak to this reversal of roles, because you become a parent and the parent becomes the child,
yeah.
and it requires adjustments for both.
I remember the comedian, was it Irma Bombeck? I remember one time she was telling a joke, but it was a very serious moment. She said she reached over. They were coming to a stop sign in her car, and she reached over and she instinctively put her hand on her elderly mother and stopped her. And she said, at that moment, I realized the roles were reversed.
Right.
Just like I used to do with my little kids, I was now taking care of my mom.
Mm.
And that adjustment is not easy for both people. The biggest thing I remember my mom talking about was my grandmother would invade the kitchen. Two people who used to cook for families trying to make sense of that made it a little bit tricky. It's tough.
You know, we hear so much about burnout and how it relates to this ongoing stress. If someone is caregiving and reaching burnout, what are the signs of that?
I think we're going to talk about that after the break, because I want to give the signs of burnout. I want everyone to understand what the signs are, but more importantly, how do you prevent it? So let's do that when we come back from the break.
It's the Dr. Linda Mental Show, Caring for the Caregiver. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcasts on the MyFaithRadio.com website.
The other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about the important job of caretaking. And right before we went to the break, we wanted to talk about burnout and the signs of stress that we see. When someone reaches that point, Dr. Linda, how do we know that?
If you're having the thought, every day is a bad day, you're in burnout, because that is not a good thing. If you're thinking about home and work and all these things, you're thinking, who cares? Mm-hmm. You're just moving through life without any kind of joy. If you're exhausted all the time, if you're feeling sick, and if you just feel like everything's overwhelming and life is dull and you're doing this mind-numbing work that we talked about, if it feels like nothing you do makes a difference. And when you're taking care of demented people and people with neurocognitive problems, it's easy to feel like whatever you're doing isn't mattering, especially when they don't know who you are and they don't remember from day to day what you do. Mm. And you don't get a lot of appreciation because of that, because they forgot what you did.
Right.
If you're feeling detached from people and you're starting to isolate and kind of go into your own shell and starting to feel depressed, that's a bad sign.
Right. And then if we see these signs, what do we do?
I would say get right into God's Word. Mm-hmm. Start boosting yourself up in the Word. Remember how David said he encouraged himself in the Lord? David in the Psalms went over and over. David struggled with depression. He struggled with negative thoughts, and he would encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes you just have to say no, Chris, when people ask you to do a whole lot more, or you tell one of your siblings or a friend, I need help. Would you please go? I need an afternoon off, and don't take on more than you can handle. And if you're really struggling with that, try to get some services in there, some assistance in to help with that. You have to take moments to relax. And whether this is reading the Word or listening to music or taking a walk or getting into a bathtub for a few minutes and getting yourself to a state of relaxation, that's really important. It helps everything. We always talk about eating well, trying to get some rest, exercise if you can. Family caregivers often put their own health needs to the side. They don't eat well. They don't get good rest. They don't deal with their finances and the things. They let everything kind of slide because they're so consumed with giving care, and we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Prayer. Getting other people to pray for you. Aaron lifted the hands of Moses when he was feeling like he needed some help. Get other people around you. And then certainly if you are struggling with some kind of depression or burnout, please go talk to somebody and get some help with that.
It's interesting that so many of the websites that talk about caregiving talk about how important it is to have God in your life, like you mentioned a minute ago, and enlist his help. Give us a few specifics on that.
We have all this controversy in our culture about, can we pray? Can we talk about God in the public schools? Mm-hmm. But here's an area where people talk about God constantly on these websites. I love this point. It's called ALS.org. It's an Alzheimer's organization. You will need God. You will need him for help and to yell at him. Mm-hmm. You'll need his guidance, and you'll need to be angry with him. If you don't have him now, find him as soon as possible.
Speaking from experience, of course.
Listen to how God helps Etta with her husband who has dementia. Go ahead and read what Etta says here.
She says, words of insult, of deep hurt, come out of nowhere and in the presence of medical personnel and strangers, all directed at me, about me. Mm. She says, I take it all knowing that it's the disease and not the Isaac that I used to know. I've learned to never question why he says the things he does to me. I never argue with him or question what he says. Yes, I was verbally offended many, many times, but now, by the grace and strength that Almighty God gives me, I guess I managed to let it all pass. I wait for the real friend to come out, even for a few moments. Mm. Then my joy is back, as is my willingness to continue the support and care for my dear friend.
This is a wife who is now dealing with a husband who isn't recognizing her most of the time, and she's holding on to those moments where she remembers who he is. I love what she does, though. She separates out the disease from who he is, and she remembers the essence of who he is, and that really helps her get through the day and manage all of that.
Wow.
She's not holding on to the bad things he's saying or the way he's treating her. She's remembering who he was and what he was all about.
Let's talk about unfinished business. I know you're going to encourage us to do what we can to reconcile and make things right.
You know me. Yes, I am. You definitely know I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. Kara says, if you are reading this and lucky enough to still have a loving mother, give whatever you can today because tomorrow may be too late. Mm. I want to point to that because Kara is saying, once they're gone, There's no more that you can do about that. And I had a lot of people in therapy who, after their parents have died, have wished they would have had a time before they died to take care of stuff. So I would say do whatever you can to end well with your parent and don't have regrets about the end of their lives. Forgive. Try to reconcile. It can be the most wonderful time, Chris. I've seen this over and over where old wounds are healed and you have a very different experience with your parent, which can be so healing for family members.
Right. We've reached this point in the program.
Yes.
Caretaking is not all stressful.
That's right.
There are upsides to it.
Yes, there are. You can take the time and you can talk about fun moments. You can remember family stories. You can talk about those people who have passed. And all of that brings you closer. And I love just reminiscing with my dad about crazy stories. He was telling me stories the other day about his family in Germany I've never heard my whole life. And I don't know why I remembered them, but it was really interesting stuff. I've also seen caregivers become more self-confident. We didn't talk about that, but in terms of your ability to deal with healthcare workers and the system, but you get practice and you get assertive.
Right.
And you can really have some confidence there. That's a good thing.
You become somewhat of a health professional yourself.
Yes, you do.
That's right. As we wrap up today, what is the take-home message?
We'll just do it in a couple of quick points. Watch your stress levels, pay attention to burnout, get help if you're at that point, and then have plenty of support along the way. Get some services, get some relief, get some people praying for you. Do what you can to maintain the dignity of that person being cared for, recognizing that one day, that could be you. And then ask God to give you the grace, the patience, and the understanding you need. Let me close with the scripture. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight because I love you. You may not feel appreciated. You may not feel loved, but God sees everything you're doing. And he loves you dearly. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to you, Chris Weigel, my co-host, who makes the show a conversation. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.